Well, today is the last instalment of our Advent Christmas series, Surprised by Joy. Christmas celebrates the coming, God's coming down from heaven to earth in the baby boy, Jesus. And in Jesus, God has opened his heart to us and his kingdom for us. In Jesus, we have God's favour so we can bless others. And so today's theme for Boxing Day is joy in blessing the poor. We have two readings. The first is from Luke chapter 14. Jesus is at the home of a Pharisee, and we know from other bits that the Pharisees loved money. And here we go. One Sabbath when Jesus went to eat in the house of a prominent Pharisee, he was being carefully watched. And then we skip to verse 12. Then Jesus said to his host, "When you give a luncheon or dinner, do not invite your friends, your brothers or sisters, your relatives or your rich neighbours. If you do, they may invite you back and you will be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed." Note the passive there. You will be blessed. God will bless you. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid in the resurrection of the righteous. Second reading is from Acts chapter 6. The choosing of the 7 because there were problems with the food distribution among the widows. In those days when the number of disciples was increasing, the Hellenistic Jews, and then there's a little footnote in the bottom of my Bible, that is, Jews who had adopted the Greek language and culture. So, people of Jewish faith, but they had grown up in a Greek-speaking culture. Do you understand that? And they were living in Jerusalem. Some times, people of a Jewish persuasion from other nations ended up retiring in Jerusalem. And, of course, if the man died, well, then the woman was a widow who spoke a foreign country, or was from a foreign country, didn't speak the local language. Right, so the Hellenistic Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. So the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, "It would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the word of God in order to wait on tables. Brothers and sisters, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them and we'll give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the word." This proposal pleased the whole group. They chose Stephen, or Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, also Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas from Antioch, a convert to Judaism. They presented these men to the apostles, who prayed and laid their hands on them. So the word of God spread. The number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. Isn't that interesting? The priests were responsible for the death of Jesus, and it says here a large number of them became obedient to the faith. Okay, our theme today, joy in blessing the poor. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that we can gather freely to celebrate the good things you have done and are doing in our midst through Jesus. Holy Spirit, come and open our hearts and minds to this word. Let this word work its way in us and give us the grace to wrestle with it so it can bring the change in our lives that you want to do through us and in us. Amen. Okay, Boxing Day. For most of my life, I scratched my head and going, "Oh, I don't know what Boxing Day is about, but I'm really happy to have a public holiday after Christmas." You know, it's just one of those things. Opportunities for more feasting, more drinking. But every now and then I'd wonder, "Oh, I wonder why there's this thing called Boxing Day." I thought, "Oh, maybe there was some boxing tournament somewhere in the world, or on January the 26th there was a world title fight somewhere. Maybe that's what Boxing Day is about." And then I thought, "Oh, well, hang on a minute. Maybe that's the day where all those unwanted gifts you receive, you take them back in their boxes, back to the place you purchased from, but make sure you take your receipts." And then I thought, oh, hang on. Maybe it's after you open all your Christmas presents, you've got all these empty boxes, then you take outside, and so that's what Boxing Day is about. See, I had no idea at all. But anyway, in 2004, Boxing Day fell on a Sunday like this year. And it gave me an opportunity to dig around and find out what Boxing Day was all about. So here we are, drum roll. In the 1800s, Boxing Day became a custom in England under Queen Victoria. The Boxing Day holiday is therefore observed in Commonwealth countries like Great Britain, Australia, New Zealand and Canada. But did you know January the 26th is also St. Stephen's Day? And we'll come back to that a bit later. Now, I've got a picture up here before we go on. Okay, there's a picture of Christmas dinner in Victorian England, perhaps. I want you to talk to the person next to you, a friendly person. Move around if you need to. What do you notice about that picture? Have a chat about that for a few minutes. Okay. Okay, what are some things you noticed about the picture? Anybody? Okay, there's a bunch of wealthy people who are gathered around the table. And how can you tell they're wealthy? They're all dolled up, you know, dressed and all that. The pictures in the background, horse riding, you've got to be wealthy to be into horses. Okay, and then you've got a few people standing. There's two groups of people there, isn't there? There's the people around the table and then there's the servant people who were at the beck and call of their masters. Anything else?
The child hasn't been sent to the children's
table. All right. It's Christmas Day. Yes, so but that would be common in
and
those times. Yes, okay. Excellent. And I think if you've watched Downton Abbey, Downton Abbey is sort of early 1900s, the First World War, and they were dressed a lot different, but the same class divisions were established. And Australia was settled by the British, and a lot of that stuff came to Australia. Do we still have a distinction between the wealthy and the poor, though? And so Australia's a much more egalitarian culture in some ways, but if you're wealthy, you get to make decisions that and choices that the poor people can't make. And I think we always got to bear that in mind. Okay, thank you for that. I found this picture, I thought, the picture says 1,000 words, doesn't it? There are two theories about the origins of Boxing Day, and I don't think they're mutually exclusive. It could be one of those cases of both and, but let me share them with you. The first is that centuries ago, on the day after Christmas, the privileged upper class would give boxes containing food or clothing or tools or money perhaps or other goods to those who had served them throughout the year. These gifts were an expression of gratitude, a bit like a Christmas bonus. A Christmas bonus. And these boxes gave the gifts their name Boxing Day. That's the first theory. The second theory is that Boxing Day comes from the tradition of opening the charity boxes placed in churches over the Christmas season. On the day after Christmas, the clergy would open the boxes and distribute whatever was in the boxes to the poor. And so, keeping that tradition alive, many businesses, organisations and families donate their time, services and money to food banks, to various charities, in order to bless the poor. I think that's feasible too, yes? They're not exclusive. But friends, giving to the poor has always been part of the Jewish and Christian faith tradition. Jesus talks about it in his Sermon on the Mount. When you give a gift to someone in need, don't shout about it as the hypocrites do, blowing trumpets to call attention to their acts of charity. I assure you they have received all the reward they will ever get. But when you give to someone, Don't tell your left hand what your right hand is doing. Give your gifts in secret, and your Father who knows all secrets will reward you. Pretty clear, isn't it? It's always good to give, but don't blow your own trumpet about it. Just keep it as something between you and God. Then it's an act of worship. A few years later, in the Jerusalem Christian community, a bunch of Greek-speaking widows were being neglected in the daily distribution of food. And as I explained before, well, they didn't speak the local language, Aramaic. And obviously there was some discrimination going on, or the need wasn't being communicated because they were being overlooked, simply because they couldn't speak the local language. Friends, if we are well established in the mainstream culture, it's easy to overlook people who are different. It's easy to overlook the little people. Children, little children, the elderly, foreigners, refugees, asylum seekers, street people. We've seen in the media that despite all our talk of multiculturalism and tolerance, prejudice is deeply ingrained in the Australian psyche. Whenever we regard others as inferior to us or less deserving than us, it's easy to ignore their needs. It's easy to ignore their dignity as people created in the image of God. And it's easy to forget that they matter to God and are loved by Jesus just as much as he loves each one of us. Yes? It has happened to the indigenous people of this land, and it was happening in the Jerusalem church. So how did they fix the problem? Well, they chose seven godly people, and they're all Greek-speaking people, to make sure the widows were noticed and to make sure the widows were getting some food allocation. Stephen was one of them. No matter which way you look at it, Stephen was a very impressive young man. Two chapters, Acts 6 and 7, tell us more about his story. He goes on to become the first Christian martyr. And do you remember that when he died, do you remember what he said? Lord, don't hold this against them. He echoed the prayer of Jesus from the cross when Jesus says, Father, forgive them, they don't know what they're doing. Stephen prays for God's forgiveness on those who are stoning him to death. Oh, there's some grace, isn't there? Perhaps Stephen was the inspiration for the upper classes of Victorian England to remember the poor and needy. And maybe that's why Boxing Day is also on St. Stephen's Day. Now, friends, the Victorian practice of Boxing Day, I think, was a good thing. It's good to share with the poor and to give appreciation to the working class. Yet at the end of the day, the lifestyles of the wealthy were not affected much by giving their servants a Christmas bonus or a day or two off. The gap between rich and poor was well and truly entrenched. Friends, sometimes when helping those who are less fortunate, we might become a bit patronising or a little smug. Perhaps doing a good deed or making a donation appeases our conscience about our high standards of living. And friends, whether we realise it or not, all of us in this room are more wealthy than 90% of the world's population. When we have worked hard to reach a certain level of comfort, it's easy to assume that we deserve better than others. I'm guilty of that too. And when we reach that level of comfort, we don't tend to ask ourselves questions like these. Who gave me the health, abilities, and opportunities for education, work, and wealth. Whose hand did that come from? Was it all my doing? Was it? I don't think so. If I'd been born in a third world country, would I be in the same position I am in now? Now, the privilege of being born in Australia, the opportunities we have in Australia, it's really easy to take all that for granted and think we deserve it, therefore we're better than others. It's easy to jump to that conclusion. I've got some more questions that challenge the living daylights out of me. How has God's love for me and Jesus changed my heart so that I consistently look at other people through Jesus' eyes, no matter what their status or their ethnicity or their interests? How does God want me to share His blessings with people in need, the blessings He's allocated to me, even though I don't deserve them? How can I get to people who need some of that stuff that I have? And the last one, would I be prepared to live more simply so that others could simply live? Friends, why do I find these questions so challenging? Because they expose the selfishness of my heart. Jesus was never patronizing to the little people of his day. He even got into trouble with the religious elite because he ate and drank with them. They even gave him a nickname, friend of sinners, friend of the outcasts, friend of the people that no one else wanted to rub shoulders with. Jesus shows us that every person matters to God, whether rich or poor, sick or healthy. Doesn't matter if they're hurting people, broken people, or lonely people. Distinctions of status, age, gender, racial background, none of that mattered to Jesus. He simply came alongside them and brought them healing and hope and wholeness. Paul reminds us of his generosity. You are familiar with the generosity of our Master Jesus Christ, rich as he was, the maker and owner of heaven and earth. He gave it all away for us. In one stroke, he became poor and we became rich. Friends, we see it in the manger, we see it in his ministry, and ultimately we see it at the cross, don't we? Man, bleeding, beaten, dying. When we stand at the foot of the cross and reflect on what Jesus gave up to meet our needs, how on earth can we cling to our pride and prejudice, our indifference or apathy? Friends, in the light of the cross, we can see people more clearly through God's eyes. Ah. There's another person created in the image of God for whom Jesus died. And as the compassion and love of Jesus softens our hearts and transforms our attitudes and thinking, class distinctions are blown away. Pride gives way to humility. Prejudice gives way to compassion. Selfishness gives way to kindness. Getting gives way to giving, and the Holy Spirit releases joy into our lives. Friends, as followers of Jesus, may you and I share His joy in blessing others. Amen. Let's pray. Oh, Lord Jesus, Father God, Holy Spirit, all the opportunities you've given each one of us. Lord, who can we be a blessing to in this season? Who is doing it tougher than I am at the moment? Holy Spirit, who do you want me to notice? Are there people in my family, among my neighbours, at my workplace, in my community, in this nation, in your world, to whom I can show kindness in the days ahead or in the year ahead? Holy Spirit, open my eyes to see who you want me to see. And open my heart, not just to feel sorry for them, but to listen, encourage, serve, or bless them in Jesus' name. Amen.